begin.
Please note that the following program includes adult themes and language.
You're listening to the weekly show on Discourse.
Oh, yeah, I'm back.
Oh, yeah, we're both back. I'm Morgan Nickel, Big Myth Dickhead from the internet.
And I'm Dylan Reeve, totally awesome dude.
Totally tubular. Are you partying on, Dylan?
A little bit, but I just want to try this. Hang on, see if it does anything. I don't know.
Are we going to play sound effects games?
No, I had this thing. I just remembered I installed Songify on my computer.
Oh, flashy, so you can actually do
stuff. You can do auto-tuning. Where's Songify? I need to get Songify. I can fuck my songs up.
Media. There we go, so.
Oh, does it have to have background music?
Yeah, that probably
frankly, at the moment, I'm hating it.
Yeah. No, that probably sucked a bit, but I'll play with it later. It seems kind of awesome.
Does it? Does it, though?
No.
Does it? So what were you playing that on?
That was actually on my Galaxy S2, but I have another phone that I've been playing with.
Yeah. What's that? Where'd you get that from? Is that any good?
We can save that if you want to save that.
We can.
Why not? Because right. It's my friends at Telecom and HTC, I guess.
Yeah.
Gave me the HTC One X to play with.
Oh, cool. Do you have to give it back, or can you keep it?
I probably do have to give it back. Also, this one's damaged.
Did someone drop it in a baby's mouth or something?
Someone dropped it on a car park.
Oh, shit.
Only a little bit. It's fine. It's just a wee scratch.
Oh, that'll buff right out.
No, it's a cool phone. So I've been using the Galaxy S2 for a while, which is a great phone.
Yeah.
This one is a native ice cream sandwich phone, so I think I've got ice cream sandwich on my Galaxy now. But I think this one comes, the user experience, maybe it's just HTC, whatever their launcher and thing is called, but the user experience seems really good. It's nice. The launch is good, and all that stuff's good. The camera is amazing.
Yeah.
I think for a cell phone camera, I thought the Galaxy S2 was good, and a lot of people tested that and said it was better than the iPhone 4S when they both came out. But this camera kicks its pants.
Right.
Nice
video?
The video's all right. I haven't really had a good play with the video. The photos are great, though.
Yeah.
And it's got much better low light capability. It's got some really cool abilities, like you can take continuous photos. You can take lots of photos in a row. It's got slow motion video capability, which is a bit crap, but it's a low quality video, but it's a slow motion video, which is quite cool. I don't know, 60 frames a second or something.
Yeah.
Pretty fun to play with.
Yeah.
The one thing that really bugs me about the phone, it's all good except for this one thing that really, really annoys me, and that is, and I hate to agree with Ben, but ages ago he wrote a post on his website about what he thought was a big problem with Android, which was the inconsistency in handset buttons, basically. It was one of the big points he made.
Yeah.
And about how, the back button isn't always in the same place, and some phones have some buttons and some phones don't. Well, I think every Android phone I've used up till now has a home button, a menu or settings button, and a back button. This one doesn't. This one has a home button, a back button, and a recent apps button.
But you get to recent apps by holding home.
Yeah, you do. But no, not on this one. So the recent apps button annoys me.
And I hardly ever do it.
Exactly.
Why have a button for that?
And the settings I use all the time, on a normal Android phone, from the home screen, you could hit settings, and then you could get, you hit the menu button, and you get settings or whatever else, and the preferences for the launcher and different things like that. And there was actually one app I found. I put one app on here and played with it that I actually couldn't use properly because I couldn't get to the settings because there was no button for it. And I think certain apps, when you design the app properly with Android libraries and stuff, if it doesn't have a settings button, it actually displays a little icon, I guess.
A little cog.
Yeah, no, it's like a little three-dot thing, but
oh yeah,
but something like that, to get into the what would be the menu that came up if you hit the settings button.
Yeah.
Or the menu button. But this one app I was using, I think, was built on one of those multi-targeted app development platforms and didn't have that button. It meant I couldn't actually get to some of the settings at all to change them because there was no way for me to access that menu.
That's a piece of junk. So can you not remap those buttons?
Apparently there's a hack. I haven't tried it. Apparently
a hack?
That lets you...
Hacks are no good for your mum.
No, although I read an interesting article today about Windows Phone 7.
About your mum?
No, I haven't read any articles about my mum. About Windows Phone 7 saying that... it was just one user case, but saying someone's dad had been given an Android phone and struggled with it, and they gave... this person gave their dad the Windows Phone 7, the Lumia.
Yeah.
And he found that very intuitive. And I can understand that, actually. There are some aspects of the Android operating system experience that can be pretty unintuitive.
Yeah.
But no more so, I think, than iOS, and that's... No one complains about that.
I find Windows Phone 7 to be a pain in the ass whenever I have to use it. Your girlfriend's got one. I don't like using it. It's weird. Yeah, it's weird.
There were still things... The one thing that I'll talk about, I've got it on my list of... Oh, screw it, I'll talk about it now. I read a fantastic and really in-depth article about Windows 8. It's called Fear and Loathing and Windows 8. And about basically someone saying what they think might be the problems with Windows 8. And one of the problems is that...
Microsoft?
Yeah, Bulma. One of the problems is that there's nothing to tie it to the previous version. If you've used Windows for the last however long Windows has been out, what's that, like 20 years or something, I suppose, and you sit down in front of Windows 8, the things that you're used to from all this time of using Windows, they're gone.
Yeah.
But what was the thing that I found about Windows Phone 7 when I used it, and that applies to Windows 8 as well, and the Metro UI, is it's great when you've got those nice coloured tiles and little monochrome, you know, application icons.
Corrections.
Microsoft released the first version of Windows on November the 20th, 1985, which is 26 years ago.
Yeah, like I said.
Carry on as you were.
You sit down in front of it and you've got these, you know, this nice tiles and monochromatic little logos, and it's all very clean design and looks quite nice, and I actually quite like the Metro UI. And then as soon as you start to install third-party apps, that all just falls to shit.
Yeah.
Because they all just have their own weird little icons and they don't obey those conventions at all.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
And it looks horrible. Like, I like the single tile style of Metro by default, and I hate the way it looks once you start to install new apps into it.
Then don't install new apps. Problem solved.
Just live with what's there. You use all the Windows online services and be done with it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the HTC One X is a really cool phone. I'm very impressed with the camera. I've been carrying them both around. At the moment I don't even have a SIM card in it.
Yeah.
Because it uses a micro SIM, and I don't have my own micro SIM. Although they did give me one to play with, but I haven't got it in there at the moment. So I've been carrying it around. I use it basically just as a camera.
Right. It's not very robust. You like it, but it's not very robust. You need to put a case on your phones or something, it sounds like.
What I should probably do is not drop them.
Well, is that an option for you?
To be fair, though, I dropped it, and had it been an iPhone 4 or an iPhone 3 or no, it was 4 or 4S. I'm sure it would have shattered.
Yeah.
So, you know, it didn't do that. It's just got a little scuff in the corner. Fine. No problem.
Oh, I just remembered that we're on video and I've been messing around. Have you been quite distracted by me fucking around?
No, I haven't even been watching you.
Oh, fuck. Thank fuck for that.
No, I pay no attention to you at all. I barely listen to you when you're talking. I certainly don't watch you.
Yeah, I don't even know what you've just been talking about. 7 tips for good behaviour from the 16th century. That's something we're going to be talking about today. But first, I'm going to introduce the show. He's Dylan Reeve, and I'm Morgan Nickel. Neither of us is Ben Gracewood. Get the fuck over it. He was fired months ago. So if you're still coming here for that talent suckhole, I mean, no talent zone, whatever. I think I was right the first time, actually. I've just had half of one beer. And so this is going to be a great show. And no dinner. Well, a great show. Yes. Blood sugar. It's all the way down there. I have very good news for all of you. But that's coming up later. Right now, though, a story I just teased. 7 tips for good behavior from the 16th century. This is from happinessproject.com. And this is a handbook written by Erasmus, apparently, and 15-something-something. That's a long time ago, by the way, just in case you didn't know. You should not, this is if you want a good life, to behave well. You should not gossip. Sounds fair. Okay. I think many of us would like to stop gossiping, but it's the easiest thing you can talk about with your boring fucking workmates. I regret saying that. My workmates aren't boring. I'm just my natural inclination is to just generally be rude. Number two, you should not tell unkind stories. I just told an unkind story.
You're not doing very well.
No, but I'm doing better than anyone else would do. Number three, you should not boast. Oh, shit. 3 for 3.
All right, no, it's okay. You've still got 4 more.
On the bright side, though, I'm sure number 4 will be fine. You should not indulge in self-display on the podcast.
All right. Okay, you've still got 2 left.
You should not, 3, you should not seek 3. To defeat others in argument.
Oh.
This is going great for me.
Yeah, you're doing well.
You should not, say that again.
You're doing
You should
well.
Not interrupt people when they tell a story. And finally, you should not be too inquisitive.
Not be too inquisitive.
No, I guess this is just when you're talking to someone. It's not about not being curious about the world, but just don't ask too much questions. Too much
Why?
Questions. Because it's rude, apparently. Just let people say whatever rubbish they want to say, I suppose, without challenging them on it. I cannot.
Where did you find this? Do you believe it's reasonable and authoritative?
You mean whether this actual list exists?
No. Well, yes. Actually, let's go start with that.
This is from, I cannot read this because it's mainly in Latin, but it is a handbook on good manners for children.
Okay. And then?
It's on Amazon for $4.92.
Do you agree with it?
No.
Is it right?
No, I don't agree with that.
Because you think?
I think that you shouldn't gossip.
Whilst gossiping, telling unkind stories, boasting, indulging in self-display, seeking to defeat others in argument. Why would you not seek to defeat others in argument? What's the point of arguing? Interrupt people when they tell a story? Knock, knock, who's there?
Interrupting cow.
Cow.
I beat you to it, motherfucker!
And don't be too inquisitive.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, I feel like you shouldn't gossip or tell unkind stories, but those are really the same thing, I reckon. Boasting is bullshit, but you also shouldn't hide your light under a bushel or whatever the phrase is. New Zealanders have done that for too long. Not so much now.
No, you don't want to hide your light under a bushel.
But boasting and indulging in self-display, those are also the same thing. So already we've cut this down by 2. This is a list of 5, not 7. I think this person was engaging a little bit of SEO.
Yes, probably. Early 15th century, 16th century SEO.
18th century. What was it? No, 16th century. No, you're right. Century. You were right the first time. I can't even pay attention to my own stories.
You're trying to defeat me in argument.
Yeah, that's right. I'm going to go all ad hominem in a minute.
Fine.
This person that has published this list,
yep,
has added 2 of her own.
Okay, go.
Number 8, don't top, which is not sexual.
I understand where they're coming from with that, and I think it's the worst thing in the world. I hate it. I know someone who does that so much.
I bet I know someone who does it worse.
I know the worst person for that.
Is it me?
No, worse than you.
Yeah. Will you say who it is? Is it your child?
No.
But that's no story about your work, Daddy, but at school today there was Batman.
They don't tell me shit about what goes on at school.
No.
I try and weasel it out of them. They won't tell me.
Yeah.
Was there another one?
Don't keep bringing the conversation around to your favourite topics if other people don't seem as obsessively interested in them as you are.
That actually reminds me of a very interesting thing that happened in a scene I was editing the other day.
Yeah.
Where we had to edit with some software. I don't know. Fuck it. It's really hard to do that one.
I'm totally going to go there with you on this one. I'm going to follow you all the way.
Doesn't work for the demonstration purposes if you do.
Bugger.
So that was good.
I was just thinking, what is my interest that I'm obsessive about that I can take to
this?
Basically just me.
Yeah.
Pretty much just me. What's that? Did you say peeing in sinks? Is that something you're specifically interested in?
Yes.
Wow. That's like at home. You do that yourself at home. Like the sink that you make dinner for your children next to. I'm appalled, Dylan.
I know.
I'm appalled.
Okay.
I can't really believe what I'm hearing.
15 minutes.
Neither can I. No one will understand because it happened before the show.
Exactly. That's why I'm disclaiming any responsibility and blaming you for the whole thing. So on the weekend, I had a big long road trip, and it was, oh God, it was exhausting. So exhausting. I don't know what people who live in big countries do. I mean, we're a little country, and yet I was just destroyed. Well, part of the problem was that someone caught a plane. The girlfriend's father was coming back in from, he was doing some high-tech thing in somewhere in Europe. Romania, I think. Romania and Poland. And he got back in on NZ1 via the US, and he arrived at 5:45 a.m. And we were volunteered to pick him up. And so we did. And then immediately from the airport, drove to Hamilton and dropped him off at his house, and then kept driving to the fucking Wairarapa. God damn, that's a long day.
Did you share the driving duties?
No, she drove all the way.
She drove?
Yeah, she drove all the way. She drove all the way. And it was a great trip away, but God damn, driving around is no fun. I find it no fun. On the way back, I drove a little bit.
Did you play car cricket?
No.
Oh, I can tell you my favourite driving game.
Yeah.
It's called Hawk.
Yeah. Oh, when you see a hawk, you say hawk?
That's right.
There are a lot more around now than there used to be, isn't there? Aren't there?
Depends on where you're driving.
Well, driving between here and the Wairarapa, there were heaps.
Yeah, pretty good hawk spotting. Not so good around town.
What do you think it's about? Are there more rodents for them? Is there less environmental poisons? Is there something that stopped us killing them? Or are there not more than before?
I think there are probably not more than before.
Because I don't feel like I've seen so many. But I'm sure that as a child, I would have been.
I'm going to let you in on our variation of the game.
Yeah.
Melanie's laughing nervously behind me.
Yeah. Is it called birds?
It's called hawking.
You have to spit onto your passenger or your driver's window when you see a hawk.
No.
Like straight past them, into their window, right next to their head.
This is a more around town game.
Yeah.
When you see someone in a wheelchair, you have to shout hawking.
We've got a winner.
And how loud do you shout it?
Not loud enough. It depends on whether the window's open, I guess.
We've got a winner.
I love it. Maybe that can be the new Discourse official game. So if you're listening to the show in your car, and you might be, maybe you are, if you see someone in a wheelchair, maybe you can shout hawking to yourself, maybe to your family. I think this would work best if no one in the car with you, assuming there is anyone there, and if there is, you probably shouldn't be listening to a podcast. You should probably be talking to them. But if there are people in the car and they're not in on this, wait, the story doesn't work. If you've listened to this before, this is the official game now. You're not listening to a podcast. You are talking to them. But then you see someone in a wheelchair and you shout hawking without any warning. That is the new game.
Or context. Don't explain it to them.
No context. It's like dog hod. If you tell someone while you're shouting hod at them, it doesn't really work anymore because they go, oh, fucking shut up, dick. I played dog hod with a girl. Me and Ryan did, former philosophy correspondent. We played hod with a girl and it was hilarious because she had no idea. She had no idea.
You care to explain hod for the people who...
Well, I think it's normally played with a dog, but I would never do it with a dog. That's why we did it with a human.
It's just cruel with a dog.
It's cruel with a dog. What you do is you get cozy with a dog and you like pat its neck and like squeeze its ears or whatever and say, oh, you're a good little boy. And then you go, hod! And it will be startled and it will possibly run away. And then you'll be like, oh, come here. Come here, little guy. Then you ruffle his little cheeks and you rub his back and you scratch his shoulders and you rub his belly. And you go, hod! And he gets real frightened and he runs away. And then you go, oh, little guy, oh, you're frightened. I bet you come back over here. And you go through that process. And basically the game is you see how many times you can do that before the dog bites you.
And you played this with a girl at a party, wasn't
it?
I think I was there.
I think it was Kelly Thackray.
Oh, yeah.
Kelly Thackray or Kelly Mitchell. It was one of the Kellys. And so we played it exactly like, well, without the stroking, just kind of talking nicely, but then shouting hot at her. And she got really upset. And she said, I don't understand. And we'd be like, oh, really sorry, Kelly. You know, it's just a silly game. You know, bored! It works really well with a human. Oh, God, I'm sorry, podcast listeners, for shouting in your ears. Chat room, you get what you deserve, because, I mean, seriously, you subject yourselves to this week after week. Has anyone else played Dog Hod? Kevin Long went to school with a Kelly Thackeray. I don't imagine that there can be a lot of them.
Uh-oh.
I haven't looked to see.
Worlds collide.
Worlds do collide. It's a small, man, it's a, tell you what, this country is a little country. You know, so it's amazing that it takes so long to drive from one side to another. Jesus, is it little or what? It's amazing the people that you know. So a handbook on good manners for children, you can get it on Kindle for $9.99, or you can get an actual printed book for $4.92. That doesn't seem right, does it?
Now, among good things for your children, don't teach them to play hod.
Don't teach them to play hod, and don't play it yourself, especially not with children. Kindle edition $9.99, that should be free. This is clearly out of copyright. 16th century, yeah, there was no copyright.
So you find the text of it and you do it again.
Gutenberg.
But people charge it. Yeah, well, if it's there. But there's lots of those. Lots of those things are on Kindle and people make money from them. In fact, there's a whole, I think there's even software programs devoted to doing it, to basically e-bookizing them and then selling them.
Right.
Because, you know, you can sell the
public domain. Work. Public domain, yeah. Fair enough. Don't see a problem with that. No. I think that's fine. Something else I discovered while we were
just check something, Morgan. I just went and looked at Kelly Thackeray on the Facebook and guess who's her friend?
Kevin Long.
There you go.
Well, well, well. Same person. Small world. So I also discovered on the road trip that I can't drive for shit. Seriously, can't drive for shit. I don't drive very much anymore because I walk to work every day. I've walked to work every day for like 3 years or something. Oh, I've bicycled a couple of times, but I haven't driven for a very long time. and so I don't drive very much. My car, the last time I tried to drive it, the battery was flat and I've just kind of left it there in the car park.
Are you still registering at the stuff?
I think I might not have it's not registered at the moment. I think it hasn't been deregistered, but it doesn't have registration.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I'm overdue.
If you leave it too long in that state without suspending the registration, then they'll deregister and you have to get a whole VIN checking stuff to get it re-registered.
Yeah, that'll be great.
Pain in the ass, very expensive.
Have you done that?
Yeah, it happened to my motorbike.
I tried to go and do the registration online, but they were like, no, you need to wear on a fitness. And I'm like, but I don't want to drive it. I just want to keep it registered. I will continue paying you for the privilege of not using my car. Just don't fucking deregister it. But they didn't want to do that.
No.
Assholes. Terrible website. It's horrible. Terrible. Yeah, so the first time I'd driven in a little while. You know, even and then I'll drive the girl's car to the supermarket or something, but not long trips. I get in the car and I start driving from like Tikanu or somewhere near Taupo. And so my first driving in months is in like forestry roads, open road speed limit, rough surface, lots of corners, and I discovered that I no longer have any sense of speed control.
Interesting.
Completely useless. Completely useless. Yeah. I've never really enjoyed long drives. Never enjoyed it. More fun on a bike.
I find, because since Melanie's parents have moved a couple of hours north of us,
yeah.
I find I don't like driving. I like the motorway. I actually quite enjoy driving on the motorway.
Yeah.
I don't like driving on open roads.
Yeah.
So fast. There's so little room.
Yeah. And if anything goes wrong, it can go wrong really badly, really quickly.
Yeah, and corners sneak up on you.
Yeah. Now, when I that was driving, we actually swapped cars on the way down. That was driving her mother's car, which was automatic, and I think that was the problem. Because, I mean, as a motorcyclist first, when I first started, conveying myself, I very much got used to using engine braking for cornering and so on. And yes. In cars, I also do that absolutely constantly. And in an automatic, I found it really hard to get used to. When
you can still do an automatic, it's just not as efficient. Doesn't work as well.
Sorry?
You can still do it in an automatic. It just doesn't really...
not really. Maybe if you're super over-revving it.
And I suppose, yeah, you don't really... You don't get nearly as much...
No.
deceleration.
No. You can't really do compression braking because it's got, what's it got, like, I don't think it's the right term. It's got something like a torque converter or something. No, that's not right. That's not it. Something like that.
Mystical.
Yeah, it's all mystical. I don't understand any of that stuff. Have you ever seen a diagram of an old style automatic transmission? Ridiculous numbers of little tiny little ducts. Absolutely insane. The way that people managed to build things in the past, before we had all the clever electronics and so on, it is baffling that anyone ever figured it out. Completely baffling. Drunk Kiwi, a grandmother. Absolutely appalling. Yeah,
it's a very proud
on a Qantas flight,
I'm sure.
On a Qantas flight from Australia to New Zealand, where she was coming back. She is a New Zealander, but she lives in Australia. So let's call her an Aussie. They are not claiming this one, are they? They like to claim all the others, but they're not claiming this one. They can have her.
Yeah, I agree.
She had been at the Melbourne airport, and she'd gotten a whole bunch of duty-free. I don't actually know how much duty-free. Some amount. And she was reportedly, quote, extremely intoxicated on the plane. But they take off anyway, as it turns out. And then she gets quite rowdy. She starts disrupting other passengers. She starts yelling. It doesn't say exactly what she yelled, but they call it profanities. Language. And the staff on the flight tried to calm her down, this woman McCaskill. What's her name? Something McCaskill?
Elizabeth, was it?
Francis.
So close.
Yeah, very close. Tried to calm her down, but then she began punching the seats in front of her violently.
And it wasn't only the seats.
No, it wasn't only the seats. She then stood up from her seat and punched a man in front of her in the face, and apparently she was wearing rings because she caused a 6-centimeter abrasion and heavy bleeding. And so they cuffed her with those little plastic flexi cuffs that seems to be so popular now. They seem like a pretty good symbol of, you know, our fascist future, which is going to be basically people getting kicked in the head forever, apparently. so they then took her to the back of the plane and sat her down. And then she continued yelling and then started headbutting the seat in front of her like this. Approximately like that.
On the webcam, he's headbutting his microphone in case you were curious.
At which point, they attached several child seatbelts together and then used those to strap her shoulders back to the seat. She was so wild and out of control that just being handcuffed and buckled down wasn't enough. They had to basically tie her to the seat. Anyway, she's been convicted. She's been banned from flying with Qantas Group for 10 years. So that's no Qantas Jetstar. And she's got to repay Qantas $23,000 New Zealand. And she's also got a $3,500 Australian dollar fine. So that all seems like a pretty fucking bad day. Got a feeling she should stop drinking. Lesson learned, Francis. You've got a problem. Lesson learned. I think maybe duty-free is a bad idea. It does encourage, maybe not binge drinking, but binge buying. I mean, I don't know about you, but I always feel that pressure. You know, there's no booze that I want, but I'm here. I should get some. And then suddenly I've got 3 bottles of spirits. Just because, you know, oh, I should get some. Seems like a waste not to. But then if you compare the prices of that stuff versus, you know, a sale at Liquorland, it's the fucking same. There's no real pressure. But there's just something about being at the airport. Oh, I should probably get something. Don't get perfume there, though. Don't get your cologne there. Get that online. For fuck's sake, it's so much cheaper. This poor woman. Stop drinking. Everyone who's got a drinking problem, if you've got a drinking problem, just stop drinking. So there's someone else who's got a drinking problem. Raymond, yes. Raymond Lang, 45, might make a good partner to that other woman, even though, you know, she'd be a bit of a cougar for him. She's 58. New Zealand's, well, one of New Zealand's most dangerous drivers, convicted of drink driving for the 26th time. He's been caught.
26 times.
26 times. And you'd be like, well, how's he still driving around? Surely they should have taken away his license. Yep, he's also got 31 convictions for driving while disqualified. So they've tried to take the normal approach with him. They've really tried. Well, good question. But so what's the problem? What's the problem? So, you know, the police have pulled him over 26 times. Hasn't hurt anyone. Well, he's got prosecutions for dangerous driving, three of which involved injuring other people. He crashed into a car with a baby in it in 2009 in Palmerston North. That was when he was living in Levin.
30 minutes.
And then he tried to fight with a policewoman who tried to help the family he'd just crashed into and refused to give breath or blood samples. So he knows that he's a fuck-up. He knows that he was in trouble. Anyway, I was caught on April the 21st with three times the legal limit. And now what? Well, he's in custody for sentencing. Hopefully he's going to get a custodial sentence.
Well, that's the only option, really, isn't there? Clearly there's nothing else that's going to work.
Nothing else is going to work. We need something that's like an injection. I know that there is a drug that makes people, I think, they throw up and they don't get any of the nice effects of alcohol, if you enjoy the effects of alcohol. I think that they're like there is a pill or something. Maybe what we need is like a time release, like a Depo Provera sort of thing, which is not time release. I know what I'm talking about here. It's like a little implant or something, or it's an injection that lasts for months at a time that makes these fucking alcoholics who are completely out of control of themselves and incredibly dangerous for the rest of us. It just makes them unable to drink. It must be a problem that can be solved. And I think there are probably a lot of people who would volunteer to have it, who would like to have it, because they struggle with the drinking. So it seems like it's something that could pay for itself as well as being bloody useful. Now, I'm told by Kevin Long, he keeps coming up, that there's a drug called naltrexone. I think that's what I'm thinking of, that the alcoholics sometimes take. But I don't know if it's long-lasting. I guess we'll find out from Wikipedia any second. It's an opioid receptor antagonist used primarily in the management of alcohol dependence and opioid dependence.
Right.
Wow, she's got a good cough.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the cold that never goes away. It's constantly cycled through a number of small children.
How long does this last for? This drug.
But see, that's not the solution. They need to have something that stops them from being able to drive.
Well, it's easier to stop them from drinking than stop them from driving, isn't it?
I suppose so.
I mean, you can put them on home detention. That's very well. But that will be for a finite amount of time. But he's going to be an alcoholic for the rest of his life. He's never going to not be an alcoholic. Never. But he might be a recovering alcoholic, or, you know, we could use something else. So we've been asked from the chat room, who's coughing in the background? It's actually Dylan's housekeeper, let's say that.
Mm. Good term.
Good term. Might get in trouble if she heard.
Yes. Stay quiet on the issue.
There is an injectable form of the stuff that's been approved. How long does it last for? I need to know how long it lasts. Because if it lasts for like 2 weeks, then, you know, you can just have this person turn up, you know, at the local police station or the local hospital or wherever it makes sense to do it at, and just, you know, get the injection. Because I really think, I mean, this guy might be a terrible driver when he's sober, but I bet he's a better driver when he's sober. And, you know, the normal approach to stopping him from driving doesn't work. So something like this might be a good idea. Maybe we could give people an option. You know, you can go to jail, and when you come out, you'll still be banned from driving for the rest of your life, but you won't get the injections. Or, in exchange for volunteering for these injections, you know, for the rest of his life, or until a better alternative is found, he doesn't have to go to jail. How about that for an idea? People might opt in. But definitely, while he's in prison, I hope he gets all the help he needs, because it's better for all of us. Of course, National do not believe in prison as being about rehabilitation. It's about punishment, of course, which means that he wouldn't be treated if they had their way. What's the next story? Another plane story. Do you want to do another plane story? Have you got any more?
I haven't any. Well, not really. No.
I'll get a simple one out of the. Do you want to do the the soft drink one?
I'll have to go and look at the thing, and then I'll look at it in a routine. Actually, there's this interesting story I wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
Do you like a soft drink?
You know what? I'll tell you what. I decided that I was far too fat. And that I wasn't going to change a lot of my lifestyle because I quite enjoy eating too much. But I was going to change some little things. And one of the things I decided to do was start having, initially it was no soft drinks at all because, you know, you do not need them. And then it was just diet soft drinks because, you know, one or sure. zero calories or whatever. So what? There's no sugar in it. And after doing that for a while, I discovered that if you have a Coke very infrequently, it is so delicious.
Mm.
Coca-Cola is popular because it's really nice. But the problem is, if you drink it regularly, it doesn't taste good.
I drink it regularly. I think it tastes good. However,
you are okay. You think it tastes good now. If you took a break for a month and then tried one, that would be your experience. It's all relative. It's all subjective. Your experience, I am certain, would be possibly thousands of times more delightful than what you have now.
Yep. No, I mean, I've been there.
But I'm only talking about the full sugar ones. I don't feel like the diet ones are ever particularly delightful.
Like Coke Zero.
It's better than, you know, it's better than caffeine-free Diet Coke. The golden one.
That shouldn't exist.
Straight up should not exist. It's not as good as Pepsi Max, though.
No.
Pepsi Max. I disagree. It's got a different level of sweetness.
Mayor Bloomberg in New York. I don't know if it's actually, I guess it's
Michael Bloomberg.
I assume it's him, his plan, not just the council.
He's a rich man, but very short.
Yes, he is. He's got a plan to outlaw, this is for our health, mind you, to outlaw large bottles and cups of soda or soft drinks or pop or whatever you want to call it.
Hey, it's none of his fucking business.
The proposed ban would affect virtually the entire menu of popular sugary drinks found in delis, fast food franchises, and even sports arenas, from energy drinks to pre-sweetened iced teas. The sale of any cup or bottle of sweetened drink larger than 16 fluid ounces would be prohibited, which could take effect as soon as March. So,
16. You're wondering because Google failed me.
473 milliliters. That's how many milliliters in a normal measurement. Terminology, that's how much 16 fluid ounces.
That's insensible. So that's less
than, I guess, the small bottles of Coke that you can buy in the shops, they'd be okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if they have them in the
States, little ones. Like, the little wee ones. The ones that are like 250 mils or something.
No, they're 420, I think. So that's about 15 fluid ounces, I suppose.
Yeah.
They'd be all right. But pretty much everything else, done. No.
Every now and then, I have a craving.
It doesn't apply to things like supermarkets and stuff. It's just, like places where you get food. So it's sold alongside food.
From time to time, and this has happened ever since I saw an episode of The Sopranos in about 2001, something like that. And I think we might have actually been together, you and I. I don't mean together in the, you know, sense, but together, as in we happened to be in the same car at the same time. And we went to Wendy's, and I was like, what I really want is something that I saw last night, which is a great big cup of Coke with ice. And that was something that Tony had. He had had it out of a large glass, and I was about to have it out of waxed paper. But aside from that, I was extremely excited. So I asked for, you know, I think it was called Great Biggie or something, whatever their large size was, which is not as large as...
Wendy's large one is ridiculously large.
It's ridiculously large, but if I want to have a ridiculously large drink, I think it is my right, my God-given right, to bubbly sugar water. My God-given right from Jesus.
Quite a good photo, though. There's a photo of Bloomberg. This is in NY Times. NY stands for New York. You could also say New York Times. That would probably be a better thing to say, but I said NY Times. It's quite a good photo of him sitting with... he and the deputy mayor for health. Yeah. They have deputy mayors for different things, apparently, in New York. Mm. Linda Gibbs. Sitting in front of a bunch of soft drinks, and they've got piled up packets of sugar and cubes of sugar in front of the drinks to indicate how much sugar there is in the drinks.
But everyone knows that. Yeah, everyone knows. We've all seen the nutritionist on TV or whatever go, "Woo, look at this, it's like a whole cup of sugar." No one gives a shit. No one cares about that. People who want to have lower calorie drinks are well catered to. It's not a problem to have something with no sugar in it. You can ask for water if you want. Usually I do have water. But every now and then, ever since the year 2000, every now and then, I want a huge fucking cup of full sugar Coke. And I don't want any piffly little bitch, billionaire or not. I mean, of course, this is New York, not Auckland. I know. There's a huge difference. But I don't want some piffly little bitch coming between me or other people in my same position and our chosen vice. It's poison, but it's delicious.
So Len Brown, I mean, you could call him a piffly little bitch, couldn't you?
Yeah. Yeah, I would. I would call him that to his face, probably. I wouldn't use exactly those words, but something along those lines. I'd say good for you for standing strong on the rail loop. But aside from that, who the fuck are you? How did you get in without me voting for you? And when can I vote you out? Because I thought my vote was the only one that counted. I thought that was how democracy worked. But then National got in and Len Brown got in. And I was like, what? Who are these people?
Strangely, your vote is not the only one that counts. Disappointing.
But why not? I'm so thoughtful.
It's a flaw in the democratic process.
Why do we ask all these lunatics out there to vote when I am obviously the only one that's right most of the time?
Most of the time. Someone getting kicked off a plane before.
That's a great story.
I've got a story about that.
Oh, yeah? Go on.
Yeah.
Are you stealing a story from me?
No.
God.
How would I do that? I can't read your mind.
All right, go on then.
So,
you motherfucker.
There was
a person
disrupting a flight.
Oh, really? Is that right? There was a person disrupting a flight, was there?
Yes.
Yep. Is this out of my list by any chance? Go on then. Tell me
this
about it.
This person was crying. They described as being cranky.
God, she must have had a lot to drink.
Yeah. Well, no, hang on. Let me just read this. I haven't read it. Oh, 3-year-old. Oh, shit.
Fuck, you're ruining me. If this is
I see. Fuck, no, sorry. Bastard. It was a 3-year-old got kicked off a flight.
Yeah.
With
you're ruining the story.
Yeah. No.
You're such a bastard.
Why you got that quick? So there was a 3-year-old on a plane playing on an iPad because that's what 3-year-olds like to do. I've got a 3-year-old. He loves playing on the iPad. Mm. Unfortunately, there's a point during the flight where they make you switch the iPad off.
Yeah. Take off.
The 3-year-old didn't agree.
Yeah, 3-year-old doesn't get what it wants.
And because he had a tantrum,
yeah,
the family got kicked off the plane.
You know what? I think they should have kept the kid on the plane and put it with a responsible adult and kicked the fucking parents off for being useless. Children are children.
Yeah.
Parents are adults. The parents say, fucking stop it. And the child should go, fuck, sorry, my bad. And you can make all the excuses you want, but these parents are fucking feckless, useless bastards.
Well, no, let's be fair. Apparently, his wife, who for some reason was flying in first class, I don't understand why, came back and tried to settle the child down and succeeded. But the plane still turned around and deboarded the family.
Yeah.
So the child had a tantrum. The parents settled the child down and got kicked off the flight.
I prefer to blame the parents still.
I understand. You don't have a 3-year-old.
But if I did, that 3-year-old would fucking behave itself.
I challenge you to have a 3-year-old now.
All right. I'm going to win this bet.
Okay.
That seems like high stakes. How much does it cost to raise a child now? Fucking lots. This seems like a pretty big bet.
It's not possible to quantify.
I would rather continue traveling a lot.
Okay, well, sure. In that case, yeah, it's fine.
And not have to worry about getting kicked out off a flight because of my fucking child. Which would never happen because it would behave.
Yes.
But actually, now here's another issue. An iPad turned on in in-flight mode or not is not going to interfere with the operation of the plane.
No, but you have to turn it off because they said so and you can't usurp their authority. Even if you're a 3-year-old having a tantrum.
Authority. The parents just needed better coping mechanisms than this. The children, I think, often need to be warned. They need to have maybe a little bit of role play in advance. They need to be taught about what the procedure is going to be. And it's all very simple. They just, children don't like change is the thing.
Well, there's the other thing is that three children are at a point where they have trouble coping with their emotions.
Yeah.
Older child, not so much a problem. Younger child, even, actually not that much of a problem often, but that 2 or 3 year old.
45 minutes.
Really trouble. Demon children, they are.
Children are definitely demons. Their parents are the exorcists.
I can lend you a 3 year old if you like.
Do not want your 3 year old.
Okay. I'm happy to.
Do not want your 3 year old.
How's plenty of accessories?
So, excellent news, sort of. Weird news. Fucking weird news.
Is this the excellent news you promised us at the beginning of the show?
It could be.
Okay.
Oh, it quotes recent Discourse guest Rick Scherer, copyright and other things lawyer. Three strikes pirate notices die without action. The first three strikes notices issued to alleged internet pirates have not resulted in action before the Copyright Tribunal, where the accused could have been slapped with a fine of up to $15,000. So apparently, if you get a third strike, the copyright holder or whoever, then have 35 days to file whatever, request charges, whatever, against you before the Copyright Tribunal. And if they don't do it in 35 days, the counter resets to zero.
Yep, you go back to being...
That seems weird to me.
No, that's basically...
Why does it reset to zero? Why doesn't it just reset to three and then maybe after another offence, then they can have another go in the tribunal? Why go to zero?
Well, I guess it's fair. They got to that point and they've chosen not to take action, so you... It's like double jeopardy.
They've chosen not... Is it, though?
I don't know, not really.
What the hell is that noise?
Sorry, I farted or my phone vibrated. One of those two things.
Anyway, this is it's kind of weird. Maybe, I can't explain it. Maybe they realised that even though they've managed to get away from having too much terrible publicity about all of the copyright infringement notices being about American music, for fuck's sake, not New Zealand artists, maybe they're waiting for someone to have three notices for New Zealand stuff. Maybe they've gotten the fucking message and they're going to do something that will be sensible in the press and they'll bring the first person before the tribunal for New Zealand, you know, stealing New Zealand owned
IP. The article I'm thinking of, Rick Shearer, I think, made a good point in it, which was that maybe it's better just to spend the money on filing more because it costs them, the record company has to pay some amount of money.
Yeah.
It's not very much, maybe...
It was only a couple of $100s.
Yeah, but maybe it's better for them to spend that money on just filing more infringement notices.
I think it's $25 to make an infringement notice, to send an infringement notice, and it's about, I think, $200 to take someone before the Copyright Tribunal.
Yeah,
I think
so that's more infringement notices.
Okay, sure, but those infringement notices will have far more effect if people who receive them have seen recently in the papers that someone has been fined. Maybe they have a feeling that we're going to have here what they've had in some places in Europe, where the fines... have been reasonable, i.e. Yep. like $35 or $100, not unreasonable like what we've seen in the States where they've been like $175,000 per song. And maybe they don't want to play Russian roulette with the tribunal.
Yeah, I think that's probably the case. And I also think that, to be fair, that the people whose behaviour will be changed by the notices and changed in a way that means they won't infringe anymore, not in a way that means they might use some service to bypass... being caught, probably are afraid they'll get the notice and they'll immediately stop.
Yeah.
Regardless of whether they know that the record company is going to actually go through with it or not.
Yeah.
So I think it's probably. I'd be surprised if we see anyone go to Copyright Tribunal the way things are structured at the moment.
Now, completely unrelated to that. Hey, Dylan.
Hey.
Have you ever wanted to see all of Auckland's craft breweries under one roof and the queue thing on Queen Street?
I'll say yes.
Wanted to try approximately 25 beers from 12 of the best breweries in Auckland for $35, which includes two beer tokens and a token for two further beer tokens will be available inside the festival at a price of $10 for three beers?
For the purposes of this discussion, I will say yes.
Then you want City of Ales, a festival of Auckland's craft brewers, which is on Saturday. No, when do you think that's going to be, Dylan? June 23.
Is it Saturday, June the 23rd?
Yes, it is Saturday, June the 23rd, from 2 to 7 p.m. in the loft. which is at the Town Hall. $35. It's cheap. Society of Beer Advocates are putting it on. So it's, you know, from beer fanciers. Go to, I'll just do a Google for City of Ales. You'll find it on qtheatre.co.nz. $35, cheap as, bro. And there's still tickets available. Ridiculous. And it's not going to be a dumb one like that stupid beer fest thing that ended up being such a drunken fuckwit fest.
But remember, don't fly intoxicated.
Don't fly. Or drive. Don't do either of those things. And don't be a toddler with no iPad.
Don't be a toddler with no iPad.
Hey, have we got any more stories? I've got a great story. You know, every now and then you see a project on the internet and you're like, fuck, that's cool. I bet I could make that as well. But then you realize, fuck, I don't have any time to make it. Well, I had that very experience once again this week with the story. It's about a little mini submarine, a remote operated vehicle with little cameras and stuff on it that will swim around underwater and make video and, you know, map the whatever terrain that you put it in.
Yeah, you should build one of those.
I don't know why I'd want to map terrain, but I think it would be fun to build something like this just so you could chuck it in the water and drive it around. I think that would be fun. And you can do it, apparently, for about $750 US, approximately, with this Open ROV, which is a platform that someone's come up with. And this is from a story on the New York Times blog by Brian Lamb. And this project has actually been put together by someone with some pretty impressive credentials. He's a NASA engineer. And so you'd think he'd probably know how to make things at least waterproof, if not kind of vacuum-proof. Those are probably opposites, I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's kind of the opposite of a vacuum.
Yeah. I guess it is the opposite of a vacuum. High pressure. Well, it creates, you know, maybe the equivalent on the inside. You know, a lower pressure region on the inside. Just maybe you flip things around. I guess maybe in that sense it is the opposite. This thing can go 100 metres down. That's not exactly the bottom of the Marianas Trench. Is that the deepest bit still?
Yeah, isn't that? That's where Jim Cameron went, isn't it?
It won't follow. It won't have pictures of Cameron arriving at the bottom, but you wouldn't probably want to because, as I recall, what he saw at the bottom there was pretty much not much because there's no fucking light. There's not
sediment.
Yes, sediment. Great. Great. That's exciting. I'd rather look at, you know, I'd rather take it to Goat Island and see some fish or take it up to Vanuatu and, you know, put it inside a wreck so you don't have to swim inside there yourself and have a look at all the things growing and swimming around. That would probably be more fun. It's a great idea, but you have to kind of make it. I suppose you can probably buy one, but I bet it costs much more to buy it. And that's not nearly as fun, is it? It's not as fun as making it.
I don't know if you can buy one, can you? I guess maybe.
I'm sure someone will sell you one, but probably for a hell of a lot more. Let's see. There's a professional-grade commercial ROV called the VideoRay Scout. That only goes to 76 metres and costs just under $10,000.
See, I believe since sometime in the early 2000s, I guess, I've wanted to make a goldfish bowl out of one of those Jelly Bean IMAX.
Yeah. It's never a fucking big goldfish bowl. I mean, in terms of it probably wouldn't have many fish in it, but the space that would take up is big. You're better off just getting a fish tank, I think.
Yeah.
Because those IMAX were fucking monsters.
I don't really
want
a goldfish bowl. I just wanted to make an IMAX into a goldfish bowl.
Right.
I have no particular desire for fish.
But that wasn't the cool one. The cool one was like a Mac SE, wasn't it? Wasn't that the cool fish tank?
Maybe.
Hmm. Something else I saw on my road trip, I went to my first ever wind farm, Te Apiti, which is weird.
Was it the
I think
future?
It's near, God, it was so much like the future. It was like driving up to it. When you're actually there, it just seems like machines. But driving up to it, it seems very science fiction. All these kind of, they make me think a little bit of tripods, if you remember that. You might be too young, I don't know. They make me think of tripods that kind of would you know, stalk around. But just standing on the hills watching, they look cool though. Very cool. But when you're up there, it's, you know, it's just obviously steel tubes and so on. But geez, it's 55 turbines. It's a bunch of them. The first thing I thought though when I saw it was, Jesus, that's not the way that you do it in Europe. Because they all seem to be randomly spaced. There was no consistency in the distance between them. It was almost like they'd placed them for like having solid ground or something. I felt like they should have been in neat rows or neatly offset or something. But they were just sort of random.
Method to the madness.
There may be, and it might just be that I was looking from the wrong direction. Could be something as simple as that.
You can look it on the old Google Maps or whatever and see it from above.
Good question. Might be able to. Haven't tried that.
Oh, well then.
90.7 megawatts it can generate at when it's going at full tilt. New Zealand's largest wind farm, and you can just drive right in there. There's no like fence or anything. You can just drive right up. It's great.
Yeah, I suppose, what are you going to do, though? You have to climb a big tower to do anything useful anyway.
Well, what you could do is put it on private farmland that you can't get any access to. But in this case, and I think most of this probably actually is on private farmland, but they've also provided a really convenient, you know, driveway and parking area and information board and so on, and you're right directly underneath a friggin' huge turbine that sounds amazing, but really quiet.
Right.
Very, very cool. But I had a look. This big complex that cost $100 million, something like that, produces about 90 megawatts at maximum. And I had a look at our peak usage in Auckland, and it was like 1,800 megawatts. So this, at its best, can give you 1/18th, less than 1/18th, of Auckland's peak usage. Yeah. Not very much, bit of a drop in the bucket, but I guess the idea these days, and going into the future even more so, kind of, you know, we will eke out our power wherever we can find it.
I still think the whole wind farm thing seems interesting. Sorry, not wind farm, tidal power generation seems like it could be promising. But what the
it's
hell
consistent. You know that it's consistent. That's what you know. You know that wind is not consistent. Sometimes the wind doesn't blow. And sometimes it's times when you really want the wind to be blowing because you really want energy. But the tide, you can calculate when the tide is going to be thousands of years in advance, assuming no one steals the moon and flies it off into space.
Oh, that is a risk.
But if anyone had technology to do that, we'd probably have all sorts of fusion or whatever. Zero point energy. Stargate. I sneaked it in. Who knows what else we'd have? We used to have like regular little segments on this show.
Let's open up the toot bag.
Let's try that. Let's see. If I push that button, maybe does it mean that I actually will find something when I scroll down to the thing? Andy Conlon on Twitter.
Yes.
At Mr. Andy Conlon. Morgan, can you please have Dylan up about not having a leaf in our movie? And congratulations, by the way, Discourse. I'm not sure what the congratulations are for. Maybe it's for... No, I'm not sure what the congratulations are for. Probably generally just being awesome. So what's this about not having a leaf in your movie? This is from the 48 Hours thing.
What do you think?
I think that there was no prop leaf in your movie. I think that there was scenery leaves. And that's not a prop. I think a lot of people did that. And I think they should have all been DQ'd.
The winner for it at the Auckland Finals was one of those. So there you go.
Best use of the prop.
Yeah.
It wasn't used as a prop.
No, not really.
Those fucking clowns. There were a bunch of really quite fun uses of it, but they all felt a bit sort of, I mean, it's a leaf. You know, you hold it up to the camera and now it's like, oh boy, there's the leaf, I guess.
Yeah, we have but that's not really worth discussing, but there's a much, much deeper incorporation of it, but anyway.
Is there?
Yeah, it's a processed leaf product.
Are you talking about marijuana?
Lots of tobacco.
Was there?
Cigars. There's a cigar.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, well, the theory was he was going to unroll the cigar and reveal the tobacco leaf, but that was stupid. It was never going to work.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was stupid. So, James's one was good. Animated little puppet leaf falling from the... Oh, it's good. That's because you didn't go to anyone's... screenings, except your own.
That's good.
Because you're so... let's open up the tote bag. Chris Keel, at Chris Keel, told my wife we should listen to Discourse, but after 2 minutes of listening to the sounds of Morgan eating, she was like, are you on drugs?
We've got a winner.
Thing. I'm not sure why.
It's not the show. That's not the show. That's the pre-show. What's the after show? The show is after begin and before. what you're gonna hear in about 35 seconds, approximately. It's not the show.
No.
So difference. Speaking of, are you feeling pie? This is the week that KFC released a chicken pie. I haven't tried it.
Have you tried it?
I'm a bit scared by the whole idea, really, to be honest.
I'm looking forward to trying it. KFC. Very, very variable.
Four.
Very awkward. So it's really been great having you on the show again. I've only had one beer.
Two.
Rate and review the show on iTunes. And see you next week. Love you so much. Goodbye.
You're listening to The Weekly Show on with
God. All right, we're using that one.